Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Grady.
This morning, I'd like to share a message that is called, Who Fed the 5,000? Let's pray before we begin. Father in heaven, once again, we come before you asking for your blessings as we open your word. We want to acknowledge that without your help, we cannot understand the truth. So please give us discernment. Speak to us individually, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you grew up listening to the story about feeding the 5,000? Now, I'm sure you've heard it before many times, but just to make sure that we're all on the same page, let's go through the whole story together again. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. The Gospel of John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Are we there? Okay. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. So who followed Jesus? How many of them? Multitude. It says a great multitude. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a multitude. Usually it's thousands of people. Okay? Thousands of people. Now, verse 3. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Verse 5, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So we know up to this point that Jesus saw this great multitude, and Jesus did not just see their faces, but he was able to discern what is inside their stomach. Jesus says these guys are hungry. So he went to Philip and asked, where can we get bread to feed all of them? Now, verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So we can safely assume Philip, you know, check out his pocket, maybe ask a few other disciples, and they were able to collect how much money? 200 denarii. Now, what is a denarii? What is the equivalent of that money today? Denarii is about a day's wage back in the day. So say that today we work for 8 hours a day, $10 an hour. That's pretty low, right? Usually people make 15, 20. But let's say it's $10 an hour. You work 8 hours. So in a day, probably about $80, $80 to $100. And they have 200 denarii. So 80 to 100 times 20, we're talking about $16,000. To $20,000. That's all they had. Okay? That's all they had. Now, is that enough to feed all of them? Let's keep reading. Verse 8. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has how many loaves? 5 barley loaves and how many fish? 2 small fishes. It's interesting that the Bible has to include that detail. It's 2 small fishes. Don't think that it's a big, big bass. It's 2 small fishes. 2 small fishes, But what are they among so many? Verse 10. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down. In number about how many? 5,000. Now I want you to notice, according to the Bible, there were about 5,000 what? Men. So sometimes we assume that, oh yeah, Jesus feed the 5,000, that's all they had. But if you look into the detail, it's only 5,000 men. If they came with their wives, if they came with their children, I think it's safe to assume there were at least four times of that. 20,000 people. 20,000 people. And this is why when the disciples check out their pocket and were able to pull what is equivalent to $16,000 to $20,000, they know even with all this money, it's not enough to feed 20,000 people. Now, verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Verse 12. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled how many baskets? 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Now we're on the same page. We have the story refreshed in our minds. Here's the tricky question. Who fed the 5,000? Who fed the 5,000? Let's start going down the list. Did God feed the 5,000? Did Jesus feed the 5,000? Yes, he did. Right? We saw his power multiplying the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And he multiplied and he multiplied and he multiplied, and they even had 12 baskets full of leftovers. Did Jesus feed the 5,000? Yes, he did. How about the boy? Did the boy feed the 5,000? Now, what would happen if he did not surrender his 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes? Would Jesus have anything to multiply? Exactly. So in a sense, did the boy feed the 5,000? Yes, he did. How about the disciples? Did the disciples feed the 5,000? Now let's read the story again, especially in verse 11. This is the focus that I want us to have this morning. John 6, verse 11. Let's pay attention to the detail. And Jesus took the loaves. Now, Jesus took the loaves from whom? Where did Jesus get the loaves from? From the boy. Okay? So Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed the loaves to whom? To the disciples. And then the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So if you pay attention to where the food has gone, it started with whom? That's a good one. I didn't think about that. Sandy says the mother of the boy that gave him the... Yeah. So it started with the boy, yeah? Let's just put a stop there, okay? Let's all agree it starts with the boy. It started with the boy that came to the meeting with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then he handed it to who? To Jesus. And then let's follow through. After it's handed to Jesus handed it to whom? The disciples. So what would happen if the disciples didn't hand it to the 5,000? They would have starved. They would have had a lot of leftovers. So did the disciples feed the 5,000? In a sense, they did. Now, there's that detail also. Did the fish and the bread end it with the disciples? No. Verse 11 says, the disciples handed them to those sitting down. So then the question is, did they actually feed themselves? I think they did. I would imagine that somehow, right, they would have some kind of system to organize themselves sitting down. Maybe a group of 10, maybe a group of 20s, I don't know. But the Bible says that it seems like the disciples handed to one of those circles and then they would share it with one another. And somehow, as they keep sharing and sharing and sharing, this thing is not running out. So, the question remains, who actually fed the 5,000? I think the answer is, all of them did. All of them did. God did, the boy did, the disciples did, and they themselves did. As I was studying this passage, here's what struck me. If Jesus' goal was just to feed them, if the task that he's concerned about is just to fill their stomach, why did God not take the fastest way to get it done? Why did Jesus involve all these people, all these channels to feed the 5,000? Couldn't he just perform a miracle and say, let there be food in their stomach? And they were filled. The story could have gone that way, but it didn't. Couldn't he just rain manna from heaven? Could Jesus do that? Can God do that? Of course he could. He's done it with the children of Israelites. But he didn't. So couldn't he just miraculously make everyone stuffed to the gills? Yes, he could. But he didn't. And I asked myself, why? Why? Why did Jesus intentionally involve the boy, involve the disciples, and even the people themselves to feed them? I believe it's because this is a divinely ordained process. Jesus is showing us an example that he wants to involve you and me and everyone else in sharing the bread of life. He wants to involve us. We are called to share the bread of life with others. And it seems like all these steps seems to be long and unnecessary. But clearly, it's important to Jesus' eyes. He didn't just perform a miracle like that. He would rather take the longer route. He would rather for the boy to yield his lunch. He would rather for the disciples to take their long steps and take, I don't know, maybe 2-3 hours to feed all of them instead of just getting it done. I believe because Jesus wants everyone to have a share and a part in his work. Everyone needs to have a share and a part in his work. You know, when you think about the process of spreading the word of God, you will see a similar pattern as well. I'm quoting Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 15. The Bible says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed?" Now, Paul is preaching about evangelism. Paul is preaching about sharing the bread of life. He's saying, look, there's this crowd, a great multitude that is hungry, spiritually hungry. They have not believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So if you break this text down, you will see that there is a process as well. There's a hungry multitude. And in God's plan, he says, because there's a hungry multitude, I'm going to send a preacher. And a preacher will not preach unless he is sent. You see, there is a process. God intentionally involves human preachers, human messengers to preach the gospel. How about if we go to the Great Commission? Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Whom did Jesus send to preach the gospel? Is it the angels? No. It's the disciples. Jesus doesn't say, look, I'm going to perform miracles and all the world is going to hear the message at once. But instead, he intentionally sent the disciples. That's you and me. God intentionally involves you and me in the preaching of the gospel. We are called to be involved in making disciples. We are called to go. We are called to baptize, and we're called to teach. Do you think that there is a hungry multitude out there? I don't think you need to turn on to the TV to realize that the world is spiritually dying. I mean, crime rates are rising. People look at the finances of our country, the stock market and the cryptocurrency market, and they realize something is happening. Gun violence is on the rise. School shooting is on the rise. Immorality, adultery, and fornication is on the rise. I think you and I agree that the world needs to hear the bread of life. And if you're still in John chapter 6, Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 35, "Who is the bread of life?" Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." You and I would agree that the world needs to hear more about Jesus. The world needs to be fed. But the question is, who will feed the hungry multitude? Who will feed the hungry multitude in Marion? Whom does God send to feed them? Now, do you think God desires to feed the hungry multitude in the world today? Oh, yes. In fact, I believe God will feed the spiritually hungry multitude in the same way he fed the 5,000.
in the very same way.
I don't think that God would choose to do it all by himself. I don't think that he would just perform miracles and send angels to show everyone the way, the truth, and the life. But instead, God wants to involve you and me. He wants us to share it with others. Do you know why? Because the Bible makes it clear in 1 Timothy 4:16. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. He says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." According to the Bible, when we share the good news of Jesus, we're not just saving others, but we're also saving who? Ourselves. Because in preaching about the power of God, you yourself will witness the power of God. You know, the disciples got to witness the power of multiplication in that bread and fish. They received it from Jesus. They share with one circle. I can imagine Peter goes to one circle and say, "Here you go." He goes to the next circle, "Here you go." He goes to the next circle, "How many people do you have in your group?" 20. "Here you go." Next thing he knows, he's doing that for 2 to 3 hours and the basket is not empty. You know, it's just dawned on me. How many baskets leftovers they had? 12. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. So do you think? I think that that's the reason why there is 12 leftovers basket. Because each disciple is finding it that I've given everyone food, but my basket is still full. We are called to be the disciples of Jesus. We are called to share and share and share, because by doing that, we get to witness the power of God working through us. I mean, it's going to be a first-hand experience. So we need to feed the hungry multitude. Now think about the story again. What would happen if the boy didn't want to give his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to Jesus? Multitude would have starved. What would happen if the disciples didn't pass the food along? The multitude would have starved. What would happen if they did not pass the bread among themselves? They would have remained hungry. And yet, Christians are so often content when we just sit still and not pass the bread along. Many Christians are content to just be consumers. I just want to come every week, consume the bread, and keep it to myself. But we're called to be disciples. And the disciples have one mission. They share the bread of life. Do you think it would be kind of selfish if Peter just said, "Hey, I'm just going to finish this whole basket to myself"? You know, I don't think Peter would witness the miracle if he finished that basket himself. The miracle literally takes place when he shares. When he shares. When he shares. And somehow, it just hasn't stopped. But you see, many Christians, especially today, are content with just consuming the basket filled with bread of life that Jesus has given us. But that's not the calling. We're called to pass the bread along. Because there's many people around us are perishing. Many people sitting in groups close to you, and they are literally hungry for the Word of God. There's this less than humane study, I believe, that was conducted many decades ago. Scientists placed wild rats in jars of water, testing how long they would keep swimming. Now, despite of being known as good swimmers, the wild rats lasted only a few minutes before giving up and drowning. Now, the scientists think differently. In a follow-up experiment, they said, why don't we wait until the rats typically gave up and then rescue them and hold them for a little bit and then place them back in the water? Do you know the results? The rats continued swimming, not for minutes, not even an hour, but they kept on swimming for tens of hours. I believe that many people are drowning in the water right now. They're drowning. They're screaming help for their lives. They're asking somebody, please come and rescue me, because I am about to drown. People are waiting to be rescued from despair and hopelessness. That's when you and I come in. When they're drowning, we are called to share the hope. We're called to rescue them, hold them off from the water just for a little while, because this is the power of hope. This is the power of the bread of life. You know, when somebody who is dying of starvation, if you give them just a slice of bread, that will extend their life expectancy by much. Someone is dying around us and they're waiting for us to just give a glimpse of hope in Jesus. And I wanted to share this message before our evangelistic series, before the Revelation seminar, because it's more than just a prophecy seminar. It's a seminar of hope. Some of you have gone through this seminar and you have found freedom that you've never felt before in Jesus. So I want to encourage you, think of someone. Think of someone that you know that is drowning. And they just need to hear a little bit of hope from Jesus. They just need to know that there is eternal life, that there is hope for tomorrow. So my encouragement for all of us here is, please pray. I know that the Lord has placed you in your life where you're at. The Lord has allowed you to have certain relationships for a reason. God placed certain people in your life for a reason. And I believe those are the people that only you can minister to. There are some circles that belong to Andrew, but not to John, when they were feeding the 5,000. John has this crowd, and he's just focusing on that crowd, and he keeps feeding the bread and the fish to that crowd. But there's Andrew over there that is ministering to those crowd, and he has to keep feeding them as well. There are people in your circles that only you can reach. I don't know them, but you've known them for years. You know what they're going through. And maybe the Lord is laying that upon your heart. Hey, so-and-so has been struggling, and you know it. Invite them to come. Come here. Listen, because when you study prophecy, you will find hope. And you will find that anchor that will solidify your life in Jesus. So I pray and ask that as we are entering into this season of evangelism and sharing the bread of life, that you will share your work as well, that we will share each other's burden. We are all called to share the bread of life, just like the disciples. Who fed the 5,000? God did. The boy did.
the disciples did.
Who's going to feed the hungry multitude? I will. You will. God will too.
Let's pray as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this message. Thank you for reminding us that you have called us to be your disciples, that you have called us to share this bread of life that we have been privileged to experience. Father, we ask that you will lay upon our hearts people that you want us to bring to the meetings. Lord, we ask that you will give us the courage to invite them along, that they will experience the love of Jesus, the hope in Jesus as well. Help us to be your channels, to bring salvation and to make disciples into all the world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches or a church listed near you on strongtowerradio.org? You'll find the Gladwin Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2336 M61 in Gladwin, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. You'll find the Marion Seventh-day Adventist Church at 801 West Main Street in Marion, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.